Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. Today we have quite a unique topic. I'm here with Carol Peterson, and Carol, I'd like to go over a little bit of a history of over-the-counter birth control pills. We know that there are 72 million women within the birth of reproductive ages, and 64% of them are on some form of birth control. So this is a big topic. Recently now, they're talking about making birth control pills over the counter. So we wanted to look at that and see the pros and the cons and discuss that with you. Carol, welcome.
Yes. Thank you. And we have a guest today, Dr. Phyllis Bronson, if I could introduce her.
Please do. And then I want to go back and I want to discuss a little bit about the history
yep.
of this.
Don't worry. That's okay. An important piece about this. Dr. Bronson has a PhD in biochemistry, which she puts to good use clinically with patients. So tying in the chemistry to what's actually going on with people. And her expertise has been bioidentical hormones and amino acids, and with the hormones, particularly progesterone. And she's written a book, and it's a great book, called Moods, Emotions, and Aging. So we can talk to her about that a little bit. Welcome to our show, Dr. Bronson.
Thank you. Hi, Corinne. It's good to be with
Hi.
You again.
Yes, welcome back. I remember when you were on last time, there was a big storm, was there not?
Probably. Oh, yeah. I'm up here in the Rocky Mountains. There's always yeah. something happening.
And so you would go in and out and in and out. So it's going to be fun. We're going to be able to speak. But I wanted to talk a little bit about birth control pills, or not
yes.
Birth control methods. We've known about condoms or some form of it since 3000 BC. I think this has been a problem.
Probably longer than that, just not recorded.
Not recorded. And so at that time, condoms were made out of fish bladders and animal intestines. And the first book on contraception was written in 1850 BC. And it suggested using vaginal suppositories made out of crocodile dung and gum of honey mixture. It also, suggested soaking linen and using it as a condom after it was dried out. The solution was unclear that it was being soaked in. And then later on, people began to make plugs. The West Africans used plugs made of crushed roots. The Japanese women used bamboo tissue, very thin and fine. And women of the Easter Islands used algae and seaweed as a plug to block sperm from moving up and impregnating. But then the funny part that I found was that birth control methods were sold in the Sears catalog. And they were sent out all over the country. And so the government got so upset about it that they passed the Comstock Law. And that was a law specifically to block the transport of any type of contraceptive over to be sent over the state boundaries. So it was a federal law, and it blocked transport of the birth control methods. So everything changed when Dr. Sanger came about, and she was really a spearhead of contraceptive movement. But I think that's where I'll pass it on to anyone else who wants to take over. But I thought that was so interesting to hear that we've been, as a people, independently dealing with this problem, registered over since 3000 BC and before.
Okay.
What stimulated this whole discussion is that the FDA has approved the first over-the-counter contraceptive pill. That's called O-pill, and it is a progestin only called norgestrel. So, Dr. Bronson, I'd love your opinion on this type of birth control. Is this good? Is this bad? What's, as Corinne said, pros and cons? Would you like to start?
Yes, let me jump in. And Corinne, that was a fascinating prelude. But as a research biochemist, my focus has been on the moods of women and how hormones impact their moods. The subtitle of my book is Hormones and the Mind-Body Connection. So let me jump in here. This is not an ethical argument for me about birth control. Women are absolutely entitled to have autonomy over their own choices, over their own bodies, including proper birth control. This is a biochemical argument for me and for my closest peers that work in this with me. That said, Big Pharma has been trying to manipulate this part of pharmaceutical chemistry for 50 and more years. And the problem is, you'd have to run an entire program through PubMed and WebMD to weed out all the errors of language when doctors use terms like calling synthetic progestins progesterone. They are not. So that's the basis that we need to focus on. Real progesterone is the most important molecule for women across the board, not just according to me, although I'm a primary person in this area, as Carol is, but according to the International Menopause Society. This is the most protective molecule for women. It's also called the molecule of calm, C-A-L-M. This is the lack of progesterone, or the imbalance in relation to other hormones, has been the biggest problem for anxiety, which is a dominant symptom of so many women. So what's been happening for the last 25 years is that we have a whole generation of women raised on birth control pills from the time they're in their late adolescence or earlier for many. And it's really caused a pervasive problem with mood disorders. You keep seeing articles about depression in young people. Well, with young women, this is where a major part is being omitted, because I hate to say it, because I have a lot of respect for the best of journalism, but the dark side is that media is financed largely by pharmaceutical advertising. They don't want to go here. They don't want to go to a subject that is going to produce angst with their advertisers. And so this issue is not getting addressed. Now, what is the pervasive issue? Is the wrong molecular structure of progestin, not real progesterone, that is used in birth control pills and IUDs. And what's happened is that the Danish government, which sometimes beautifully takes a very proactive approach to public health, unlike public health in most of the United States, which is geared to a response to a crisis. In Denmark, they have this proactive vision of let's see what's going on in the population. And the government became alarmed with a statistically alarming database showing depression in young women from adolescence and in older 20s, even into their 30s, some of them. But it was such a huge demographic, such a huge number of young women. They said, well, what's in the water? What's going on? And they fine-tuned everything they could look for. And the only common thread were birth control pills.
Interesting.
I'll stop there for a moment if you have any questions, but then I have much more to say.
Now, we should give our call-in number.
The call-in number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. So the birth control pills that you're speaking about, they're made with the synthetic progesterone, are they?
Yes. Yes. They are made with synthetic progestins, not real progesterone. And these are the same bad progestins that were used in the Women's Health Initiative with older women 20 years ago that was stopped. So it's at early life and late life. The same bad molecule. Why have we not learned anything that's translated into major medical groups saying, whoa, wait a minute, same bad molecule, and we're about to give this to a whole generation of young women over the counter? Have we not learned anything? History repeats itself until we stop being stupid. So people like Carol and I and other colleagues are alarmed that this O-pill, which has the synthetic progestin, that is particularly noted for triggering depression, and there are a number of them. I'm not going to name them all, but there are a number of progestins that are at the top of the list that can trigger major depression, and the one in O-pill is significant. And what happens is that, you know, young women start feeling like they're having huge mood issues when in fact they were thriving. A lot of them did not have mood issues. A lot of them were doing just fine. Of course, more vulnerable young women would be more vulnerable to something else added to the, you know, the soup of being a young person. But it's a very large demographic. And so I do want to hear if we have any callers, but I just want to say that my biochemical work has been able to target why this is a big factor. So I'll stop there for the moment.
I'm going to give the number again, 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And I want to say one quick thing and then pass it to Carol, in that it is a tremendous conundrum, because obviously there's a need for young women to be able to control their reproductive health. And so
absolutely.
And the only thing available that is the only thing available that you don't have to go see a doctor to receive will be this O-pill, which can be, as you noted, very emotionally destabilizing.
Carol. No, that's condoms, Phyllis, again. Condoms are available, and they've been used for generations very effectively. The whole emphasis to chemical birth control is not, it is not the best route for most young women. It's not the best route, and there are other options. This is absolutely true, Corinne. Women need to have autonomy over whether they want to get pregnant or carry a pregnancy, absolutely. But there have to be better ways. That's what we're saying.
There's another whole cohort of women that I'm very concerned about, and that's perimenopausal women who start to have symptoms. And just as young girls go into the doctor's office, maybe with some acne and some PMS, and get plopped on a birth control pill, to handle supposedly those symptoms, of perimenopausal women, much to my alarm, are often offered some sort of birth control pill to control their perimenopausal symptoms. And they too will have easy access to this progestin pill. And during perimenopause, the hormone that really drops is progesterone.
Correct.
And that's the first thing that produces most of the symptoms. And so if they go to their pharmacy or get it from Amazon, they'll have a progestin, which will block what little progesterone they have. And consequently, not only mood things, it will affect how your bone structure is made, how your memory works, just a whole host, your skin, the health of your skin and your hair, a whole host of things that are going to be band-aided by this O-pill. I think that the perimenopausal women will be sold to, and they'll be picking this up too. Curious to think what you think. Hear what you think.
Who are you asking?
Please, tell us. Go right ahead, and then I'll answer.
Corinne, do you have anything you want to add there before I jump in?
Well, yes, and Carol brought it up also in the fact that as we age, and all the way through our reproductive years, the need for progesterone is so elevated. And then when we go into menopause, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with possibly weakened bones. We're dealing with a fragility that has developed as we're aging, and progesterone can also affect mood and make you feel calmer and more able to deal with the stresses in your life. But as Carol said, it supports bones, it supports your physiology, it supports your mental health. And it's essential at that time to increase your progesterone, and you're being given a progesterone blocker with all side effects.
When you say progesterone blocker, what that really means is that the molecular structure of the synthetic progestins, including the norgesterol, which is the one that I believe is dominant in this new access over the counter pill. These big molecules, as my colleague Jeffrey Dash, MD in Florida, has always labeled them, are monster molecules. They have these big side chains that do not allow the real progesterone to get to its home. It's like a lock and key. And so that is a big part of the problem. They are monster molecules. And the traditional medical world generally doesn't want to look at the hard science. They want to believe what they've been told. Well, progestin, progesterone, what's the difference? Well, I will tell you the difference, and the molecular structure is completely different. You can't just tack a group onto the end of a molecule and say, well, it's almost the same. See, for my purposes, I don't care if vitamin C is grown on a shrub or synthesized in a lab. I want the exact molecule, no frills. And that's the same thing with bioidentical hormones. You want the, it just means the exact molecule. Now, the best compounding pharmacies, and we have a lot of them in this country, actually, they're all state regulated. What they use as starter molecules are mostly plants, and the best things they can get hold of. But it's about a 10-step process to compound to make the actual molecule. And today, there even though we use compounding pharmacies, notably Women's International Pharmacy is my favorite. I have no commercial involvement, but they've been terrific for our clients over many years. But there are also over-the-counter options today that Carol knows quite a lot about for progesterone that apparently women are doing very well on when they need quick access or more than they can get hold of. So however it's gotten, real progesterone is the key. And we have seen, my medical partners and I, have seen many, many women be able to get off benzodiazepine semi-addiction. These are the calming drugs that actually are designed to mimic progesterone and GABAergic pathways. These are calming pathways in the brain. And these drugs are useful when there's a crisis, but they're extremely addictive and toxic. So when we see women who have been on a myriad of drugs, and notably the biggest selling drugs in America or amongst the top few are benzos, benzodiazepines. People eat these like candy. And more drugs are not the answer.
These drugs, if I can interject, why don't you name a few? I'm thinking of Xanax,
Valium,
Ativan, Valium.
Yep.
Anymore?
Yep. Well, those are some of the pervasive names, and then there are all kinds of generics, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Valium was the granddaddy of them all, but actually less addictive than Xanax.
Yep.
But, you know, I tell my women, if you're going through a crisis and you are flipping out and you have to go meet your ex for a legal meeting, or you're getting on an airplane and you're terrified to fly, okay. But for most women, when they use bioidentical hormones and certain nutrients over time, they don't get to that level of panic anymore. And some with very high levels of anxiety still do. And, you know, there are two kinds of people in terms of anxiety in the world. There are people who know exactly what I'm talking about, and people who are just chill and don't have a clue. They're often in relationships, by the way. And it can be good, a good balancing thing, or it can be terrible if the one who doesn't understand what anxiety feels like treats it like somebody couldn't possibly feel that way. People who have high anxiety biochemically and innately, they feel when they have a panic attack or a high anxiety state, they feel like they could die because the adrenaline is so excessive and they feel so scared. Nobody ever dies from anxiety, but they feel like they could. A woman told me this yesterday. And when I explained to her that she doesn't have to feel that way, just the possibility of thinking about it differently is extraordinary, the amount of anxiety in the culture. And
if I can interrupt a little bit,
yeah.
We've got three callers waiting, okay. So we should look to
I
see.
I knew this was one of those topics
that, yes,
that will involve so many of us. And so I would like you to make sure, hold on, because it might take a couple minutes to get to you, but please hold on because we do want to speak with each and every one of you. Hi, you're live on BAI. Your name, please?
Alan McPherson, Bronx, New York.
Hi.
First, I'd like to address the listeners, if it's all right with you, Corrine and Carol, if I may call you Corrine and Carol.
Yeah.
But you need $600 to this show, and you need to send this show to every person you know, male, female, or indifferent. Two, is there any organized group that are contacting the legislators to make sure
yes.
that progesterone is what's available, rather than continually poisoning the population, especially women? Women are totally exposed and abused because of lack of quality information. And is there any way that we can contact all the legislators to get them to mandate that the progestins be banned because they're killing people?
Well, can I jump in here?
Please.
Is that all right, Carol please. And Corrine? This is Dr. Bronx.
Yeah, please.
Hi. Great questions. I just want to say I come from a big medical world in Boston. I know wonderful doctors who are trying to do the best they can. The problem is where some of the pharmaceutical knowledge is coming from. It's coming from pharmaceutical companies. And so until recently, even the quote best medical schools, their journals, their curricula were largely funded by pharmaceutical companies. That is getting somewhat better. I just wanted to say, I mean, there are good doctors out there who want to do the right thing, but they often become hostile when they hear about things like this because it's so out of their bandwidth, right? And so to answer your very important question, there are very, very good people working to lobby Congress on both sides of the aisle. There are people who care about these issues. There's a wonderful group that was started by a physician, David Rosensweet, to help lobby Congress. There was a report last year. I think, Carol, correct me if you know, I think it was called the Berkeley Research Group, connected to David's group. They wrote a whole report to the FDA about their pending attempt to try to kill compounding pharmacies, which make the safest, best hormones for women. So I'm trying to explain that it is, there are groups out there. There's the, also headed by David Rosensweet, who's a wonderful physician. And I think he moved from Florida to, what's the other one? South Carolina. But he works with all kinds of these legislative actions. His other group that I am on and Carol is on is called the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine, IOBIM. That's a wonderful group to look up. We are working very hard to get this out there. The problem is finding the right venues, right? I have written to the New York Times about some of these issues. They don't touch pharmaceutical issues like this very easily.
Their
even
science
though they
page
do,
is very pharmaceutically based.
Very, even though they do some other things very well. And so it's very difficult, but we are making some progress. But to give you an example, David Rosensweet and other colleagues were asked to testify before the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine last year or 2 years ago about what was wrong with the FDA trying to take control of the safest way for women to get hormones. He spent hours trying to explain it, and they completely didn't allow his testimony in their final report. But people have gone over their heads and are protesting. That is very clear.
But there is one, also there's another problem. In natural progesterone, it's never been shown to be an effective birth control pill. Am I correct?
You're correct. It's not. It can actually make women more fertile. This is not birth control.
The other problem is theoretically you could use a lot of progesterone prior to ovulation and stop ovulation. It sort of induces a pregnancy type level of progesterone. It takes a lot. And then if you are under some stress, away it goes to help your adrenals and no more progesterone.
I think Carol, what you're saying.
Really, it's not very practical.
It's not practical. It's great.
Economic.
No, women want easy answers about dealing with birth control. And, you know, at this point, the only safe IUD, Carol, if you know more, tell me, but is the copper IUD that is not hormone-based. Yeah, because some of the hormone-based IUDs are the worst for mood. The Mirena, we've had more women report depression from the Mirena than any other. And am I allowed to say that on the air, Corinne?
Yes. Yes.
The Mirena, women have come to us with major depression. But guess what? Look up the Mirena crash, because when they get it removed, they have a big crash because the synthetic hormones were too high and they crash big time. They needed to get it out and they need to transition into healthier hormones. But these problems are so fraught. And so we don't have a good chemical solution for birth control. And that's why I'm saying the copper IUD and condoms are the safest. And women should not be fooled into thinking that because this O-pill, which has been around for, I think, 47 years, is becoming, it's not new, it's becoming available over the counter. We're going to have a whole new generation of serious mood issues if we don't get this word out.
No, we still have two more callers waiting. We've got a couple of callers waiting, Corinne.
Live on WBAI. Your name, please.
Hello? Oh, I didn't know I was on.
You sure are. Thanks for waiting. Yes.
Thank you for having me. Just want to say one thing. When you spoke about the progesterone aspect of it, kind of threw me off, and you sort of got off of the actual contraceptive. I heard what you said about the condom is the most effective as well as the copper IUD, and that there are other options. Perhaps if you could discuss that. I know that women use other options, and American Indians have some techniques. All women from other locations of the world seem to have different ways of preventing pregnancy before it becomes.
Yeah, but we don't know those methodologies. I mean, we're talking about mostly women
right, so
in the Western
the case,
world.
If you're not aware of them, those particular situations. The other question I wanted to ask you pertaining to progesterone. Is there progesterone manifested in the body? That's the first question. Is there a way for it to be manifested naturally based on the action that the individual takes? It sounds like what you're saying, exercise, breathing, meditation, has something to do with the temperament that the progesterone addresses. But so how is it manifested in the body? Is there anything that a person can do to kind of help to manifest that naturally?
Well, make sure your cholesterol isn't too low. If you're stomping down on your cholesterol and getting horrible levels like 150, 120, you can't make any of your hormones correctly. So the other thing is you can do for yourself naturally is minimize stress, because progesterone is a great reservoir for helping you cope with stress. If you can get rid of stressors, then you'll preserve more of your progesterone naturally and you'll have the benefits of progesterone. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we are subjected to stressors far above that we have ever been subjected to. So it's no longer what happened to your mother can happen to you. It's a whole nother generation.
There are some
suggestions. They're very helpful. Thank you so much.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, please, Phyllis, go.
I just wanted to add one thing to that last caller, if I may, Corinne.
Please.
I think she had some really important things to say, but I want to clarify on top of what Carol said that was so valuable. Women need progesterone. They are not getting it endogenously, meaning from their own chemistry, as they get older. Perimenopause really starts in your late 20s and early 30s with the first decline in progesterone. And even with women who say, well, I want to do everything naturally, naturally is a very broad term. You want to do everything with the correct molecules if you're really looking for help. And so I would encourage women like that recent caller to look up on Carol's wonderful page. Carol, can I say that here?
Sure.
The health wellness by design project.
Yes, that's it.
And please read the paper, the recent paper on progesterone, and the other papers which I've been involved in and quoted in, the lifetime of progesterone and the update, both extraordinary papers. And then look for some, there are some great over-the-counter resources on that site, correct, Carol?
Yep.
And really learning how to help yourself have access to the best exogenous, meaning you need to add this into your life if you really want to age well.
So we have another caller, I think, hopefully still waiting. Hi, you're live on BAI.
Ms. Lily name, Gomez, please? I'm from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly. Hi.
Awesome.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you very much for sharing this really vital information for women. I'm similar to the previous caller in that I believe that, you know, we can solve a lot of these problems naturally. And I don't give the pharmaceutical companies the benefit of the doubt that they haven't learned anything. I think they've learned an incredible amount. And I think that it's consistent, this new medication that the FDA is clearing the way for. Is just an indication of their conspiracy to continue to provide products for people that are going to have adverse side effects that are then going to make them more money. Regardless of that, I think another big problem that we're dealing with is the ethics of a lot of these doctors that prescribe these treatments or medications or birth control in this case without properly informing the patient of the negative consequences, either through ignorance of the, you know, just through ignorance or through negligence. I think that if women were being properly informed at the time that these birth control treatments are being prescribed, in this case, they're not going to get prescribed because they're over the counter. But there's just, even when they have been prescribed, there's not enough informed consent happening because patients are not being informed. And I think that that the medical industry right now is ethically in a really delicate situation, and I think that people are beginning to notice that that their doctors are just not being upfront with them, you know. And I hope that somehow we're able to really get the word out about these this birth control, this over-the-counter birth control, so that women can, you know, make informed decisions about their health. Because a lot of the young women are going to, you know, see this as a solution, and they might not read the fine print in the packaging or the inserts of the boxes that they're buying and what they're going to take into their bodies. And I think that's really sad. And I'll just really finish off really quickly. I'm 50 years old. You know, I've never used birth control besides condoms in my entire life. Never had a accidental pregnancy, and have consistently used, you know, the Rhythm, which I was taught when I was 13 years old in public schools.
And really?
Yes. And I don't know.
How amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know that it's still being taught.
No, I
don't
believe so.
And I'm sure that even when I was taught it, a lot of information was left out because it was a man teaching it. But I think, you know, birth control education or sex education or whatever you want to call it at the appropriate ages, you know, which seems to be changing because young girls are menstruating earlier and earlier as time goes on. Also because of, you know, the amount of, you know, different foods that we're eating that have been already altered. But I think that it's all about women educating themselves and women taking the lead in assuring that young women are educated on these topics. I don't think that we can rely on the medical people anymore to keep us healthy. And with all due respect to the women, to the doctors on this, you know, who are presenting this information, I have all the respect for you and for most professionals, but in general, the medical profession has really let down its patients in a very big way. And like I said, either because of ignorance or because of negligence.
I think
that's pretty much all I have to say. I really appreciate the show and all the information that's been shared.
Thank you very much. I think that there are a few things that we could do ourselves that could be very beneficial. And one of them is Chaseberry or Vitex, which has been known to stimulate the production of progesterone. And we also know, although I have not seen the studies exactly on how it works, but ashwagandha is another wonderful herb that acts for together in women for reproductive health. So chaseberry and ashwagandha can be very effective in supporting women. But Carol, you had a very funny story that you told me about when you first became a pharmacist. And what you had to deal with in your state. Let me give out the phone number because I know there are people that still want to ask questions. And the number is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Carol?
So we had, in Wisconsin, we had this provision. I think we even called it indecent articles, and they were condoms. And you were only allowed to buy condoms if you were married, so unmarried people could not access them.
Did you have to bring your wedding certificate to the pharmacy?
It was like, know your customer.
And that's pretty, that's quite amazing. But I do believe that when we're dealing with this abundance of progestins in our society with our young women, we already have fertility problems. Dr. Bronson, what do you think about how would that affect women in relationship to their future fertility with high amounts of progestins?
Well, very much so. But before I go there, I want to address something the last caller said. And she raised some good points, but some that I have a problem with, which are most of the best doctors are under siege today in the reproductive and gynecological field, even doctors who would like to do better. Oh. And I think it's really important that people are aware in this political climate of how difficult it is for doctors who are trying, even those who really want to use, say, better hormones, they can't even perform what they're trained to do to help women who have an unwanted pregnancy to get rid of it. So there are many shadows to this conversation. I want to be very clear, because I work with some wonderful medical doctors who are really trying to help women. And, you know, if you're up against the government, the dark side of government trying to intervene with a woman's right to her own autonomy, that's a completely distinct issue from what we're trying to promote here today, which are safer ways for women to get hormones and birth control. I mean, there are so many shadow issues in this whole area of medicine right now. So I want to be very careful to state that I ethically support Planned Parenthood. This is again a biochemical discourse about what's gone wrong, and there's so much that's wrong with women's health care right now. So we need to be careful to make distinctions, because there's so much that is going on right now. My medical colleagues would say, well, isn't it better that we're getting an over-the-counter birth control out there so that women don't have to have an unwanted pregnancy? Probably, yes. But these are all very fraught issues. So I want to make sure that we're not collapsing domains. Very important to me as a scientist to make valid distinctions. And number two is that the wonderful herbal referrals that you made earlier, the references, Corinne, those herbs are helpful, but they can be very useful for things like hot flashes and even for mood with ashwagandha, but they cannot target the receptor. Only the exact molecule can target the receptor. So I want to come back and say that most women have no idea of the protective aspects. Progesterone is probably the most protective molecule against the oxidative stress of aging, the rusting of aging. We have women who don't want to use estrogen, who use just progesterone, and they're doing better. We have many women using estrogen, progesterone, and a little bit of testosterone. These things can greatly help mood. I don't want to neglect the importance of women learning about real progesterone, but it's not about blaming the good doctors out there, because there are a lot of them that are really eager to learn. I've lectured to hundreds of them, probably thousands by now. Over many, many years, and some of the best questioning has come from doctors who said, I had no idea. I had no idea what was in hormone replacement therapy for my older patients, or you know, the synthetic progestins being the same problem in birth control pills. So it's complicated. I mean, we do need birth control. I just don't think it should be chemical.
I know. Well, we know that that the copper seven, which is, there are two copper sevens. There's one with progestins in it, but then there's a copper seven with copper, and that has a 99% success rate.
Uh huh.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But again, we're dealing with a doctor's visit, and going to a doctor to get your health care. But what you said, you know, what you said is so important, because, I mean, there's doctors that are going to jail in some states.
Terrible.
For giving birth control information or supporting women.
It's wrong. It's criminal.
And part of that is not part of it. It's because I want to say a swear word. The darn government is involving themselves so aggressively.
Not the government. There are certain politicians on the far right that are trying to control women's reproductive freedom.
The same as they do in Arab countries.
That's right. It's not the government. It's people. It's people who think, mostly white men and women, who think they have a right to dictate to other people what to do with their own bodies. That is the problem. And they do not have that right. And there are really smart people trying to approach this as best they can. It is ridiculous. I mean, we should not be dealing with these issues again after 50 years. But sure.
Exactly. After so this removal.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So I have no empathy for people who are trying to control our bodies. Zero. And I don't care about their religious beliefs. They're not my beliefs, and they're not the beliefs of rational people who know that women have a right to their own autonomy. That's all. Of any religion, women have a right to their own autonomy, period. And that's a whole separate show. But let me say in conclusion for my part, because I have to leave for another meeting in a few minutes, there are a couple of criteria that I want to leave with you today. That why have we learned nothing in the 20 years since the Women's Health Initiative was stopped, and we've been unraveling that data for the past two decades, that the crucial issue was the synthetic progestins in women's HRT, for older women. So we have HRT, standard hormone replacement therapy, and then we have BHRT, which is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Very different, right? But the same molecule was the problem 20 years ago, and it's being ignored now in this discourse on over-the-counter birth control pills, which we need solutions to birth control, but this is going to create other biochemical problems, and particularly with depression for this demographic of women. So that's a concern on my end.
So I don't know if you know, but this radio program was begun because of the Women's Health Initiative. Because,
wow.
Yes, because people were so confused when this came out, and they were calling offices and medical offices crying, what do I do? And they were going cold turkey off their hormones, and they were going into severe hot flashes. And so we started this program.
Good for you. Amazing what you've done all these years, Corinne. It's so important. And yeah. Carol, one of my most brilliant colleagues. I mean, we've done things together over many years, Carol. And I think the two of us are keeping a voice of reason on certain writings that we've done and sites that we've helped coach on. Carol, anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Actually, I'm getting great feedback from people. I offer consultations, and I offer a free consultation as well. And there's a whole breadth of women tuning in and getting in touch. And I'm really pleased because it's the young ones as well as the older ones. This morning I talked to like a 20-year-old and an 80-year-old.
That's great. Yeah, I tell women to go to Carol's site if you can afford to do a real consult. It's the best thing to do because she can really get into it with you. But if you just need to contact, she will talk to you briefly. Is that correct, Carol? That's
yes.
What I tell.
Yep.
So anyway, I don't see
on my website. It's very similar. I do the same. I consult with women on hormones. And I have a short, short.
And what is?
What's your website, Corinne?
It's corinnehealth.com, C-O-R-I-N-N-E, health.com. Sorry, I swallowed wrong.
And Dr. Bronson, what's your website, and how do we get your book?
And so my book is on Amazon under Phyllis Bronson, Moods, Emotions, and Aging, Hormones and the Mind-Body Connection. I do not do consults. I do not take new patients at this time. But on my website, Phyllis Bronson, PhyllisBronsonPhD.com, there are great articles, including some that I referred to earlier, Carol's new progesterone article, The Lifetime of Progesterone Update, and one specifically on birth control pills, The Biochemical Observations on Women's Moods and Hormones. Those articles are all out there on my web, PhyllisBronsonPhD.com. So thank you for listening. I've got to sign off to my next.
And I want all things must come to an end. So I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. And we'll be back next week. We're speaking with Phyllis Bronson. I'm Corinne Frenari. And my co-host,
Carol Peterson. Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks to our callers for calling in.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.